At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so mark your calendars. This Saturday, the 3rd, I'm doing in-game live college football blowout with the mayor of Miami, Joe Ranieri, noon to 4. Next Saturday, the prime minister with Pharrell doing in-game live on Saturday. We'll be banging out college football all day and plenty of winners. That's going to be Gandhi. So check it out. In-game live this Saturday, 12 to 4 with Joe. Next Saturday with the prime minister. I'm stoked for that. Do we got Cam? Are you stoked? Are you fired up, brother?
Buddy,
you ready to go?
You ready
to gamble with me?
Yeah, oh, you do we gamble. We love it. The only problem was we never hit the felt when we were in Vegas for the draft. Carver, you're next, buddy. I know we love sucking back cold ones. I'll see you at the felt on the next business trip. Scotty, I can't wait. Can't wait to do it September 10th. A big night for me. I'm going to be gambling. You know, we wake up, we gamble, we have fun, buddy. We're going to knock it out of the park. Winners galore. Can't wait for the backyard brawl tonight, too. West Virginia and Pitt. Love college football, buddy. Can't wait to work with you and Ranieri. It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturdays.
Yeah, so I'm doing the next day on the 11th. I start every Sunday doing the NFL early games, 1 o'clock East, 10 West, with Sports Rager, your boy Berenci. So Gabe and I on Sundays, every Sunday for the 1 o'clock games. I mean, that's better than sex. All right, Prime Minister, thanks, brother. We'll see you next hour, and then I'll see you on the 10th, brother. Get ready, pack your lunch, and bring some beers in a cooler. You're going to need them when we start betting on college football together. All right, Carver High, where do we pick it up here? How about I bend over again and watch the Yankees lose to the Angels?
Before I get to the Yankees, I just want to ask you this. I just want to put the button on this trade. So they traded Mitchell and Gobert. Tell me if you like all the return combined for both trades. So basically, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, Agbaji, Malik Beasley, Vanderbilt, Walker Kessler, and then how about this? 13 unprotected or lightly protected picks through 2029. 13 of them, Scotty. That's a lot of traffic.
Mike, I like the trades based on the fact that the Jazz realized after all these years that it never got done with Gobert and Mitchell or anything they tried. It never, happened when they had Stockton and Malone. They never get it done. The time was ripe to end it and rebuild. They flushed the toilet, and I don't even care about any of those players at all, but 13 draft picks they got out of it. I think they can build, deal, make selections, make moves. They've obviously been making moves. And, it's no different for me, Mike, than the Eagles. They're making moves. They're doing things in the now to – build their franchise into a playoff contender, regularity style. They're trying to get there every year, win the division, go to the postseason. They got there last year in Sirianni's first year. Howie's done a great job making moves. This week alone, two big, gigantic moves. The Rager move, you get a safety deal done where they didn't have that. Same thing with the Jazz. They've cleaned house and they've locked in on massive amount of picks and decent players. Markkanen can shoot. Sexton can ball. Listen, I think Sexton has more game than Mike Conley. Mike Conley's an old man now. He's washed. And that's all there is to it. So Spider never got it done in Utah. What's the difference? They got a young guy that can fill it up. Beasley can play. This kid out of Kansas, I think he's got game. I think they can actually start over and build a new decade in Salt Lake with a new team, a new franchise, start it all over. They obviously didn't get it done the other way.
They certainly did not. A new day in Utah, Scotty, that's for sure. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us here today. All right, Scotty, let's finish up the rest of this baseball because I have a lot of football to get to you also. Angels beat the Yankees 3-2 last night. 2-0 lead. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Not good enough with Ohtani at the plate, Scotty, on Bally Sports West.
One swing of the bat, the 2-0.
Shohei, center field, 30th home run. Segoy, Shohei, just like that, the Halos are up by one.
Yeah, okay, make fun of New York, dude. You're in Anaheim. You know what you are? You're a wannabe LA, okay? So you're down there in Orange County bragging about, like, you know, making fun of New York. Let me tell you something, bro. Anaheim can't hold our D. Okay, so calm down out there in Don't Matterville. You know, does any team there at all even matter in sports? No. The Angels suck, and the Ducks aren't even in the NHL anymore. They're in the East Coast Hockey League playing in Anaheim in the West. That's how bad they are. I don't want to hear it from some announcer that no one's ever heard of ripping New York. You know what we got here? We got it all, brother. We got it all here. Yeah. You got nothing but traffic and sunshine. Shut up. Shut your face. I'll smack you in the face. Shut
Ohtani,
up.
Ohtani, first player in MLB history to win 10
Dork.
Games as a
I'll
pitcher.
Beat your ass.
Hit 30
homers. Go ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's my point, Carver Hyde. The Angels have 57 wins, and the Yankees have 52 losses.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, but look. The Yankees were once vaunted, and they were once the best record in baseball, and now it's not even close. Houston's better, and the Mets are better, and obviously the Dodgers are better, way better. The Dodgers are 11 games better than the Yankees.
The Astros, the way they're – I mean, they might have home field done by the middle of September. You know, they might not have anything to play for in the final 10 days, 14 days of the season. And that's what really, to me, is the most troubling thing of all. And I get it. The Rays are six back of them now. They had a huge lead on home field in the AL, which is so crucial to them, the way they've lost those Game 7s in Houston the last couple of times they've played them in the playoffs. And, hey, whatever happens here over the next month and a half, if they do cross paths with the Houston Astros again, Scotty, they're going to be going there. For Game 1 and Game 7, they're going to be going to Houston. So if they cross
paths. Do you even see them making it to an ALCS? They can't get out of their own way. They can't beat anyone. If they play Cleveland tomorrow, they'd lose.
I think they'd beat Cleveland in Minnesota. Seattle would beat them. I think the only thing they can hope for, I mean, imagine this, in the division series – is that they play Cleveland or Minnesota. I think they'd lose
Toronto
to Toronto.
Beat
I think
them.
They'd lose. They would lose to Tampa. They'd lose to Seattle. They'd lose. Hell, they might even lose
anybody.
To the Orioles if they played the Orioles in the LDS. They might even lose to them.
So, I'm having a big win, Carver High. Stop. Get my pills.
They got a long way to go. That's for sure. The Yankees finished August 10-18. That's the worst record and the most losses they've had in a calendar month since September of 1991. That is a long time ago for the Yanks. Here's Aaron Boone. He had several ridiculous things to say last night.
Now,
for some reason, they didn't show the most ridiculous thing that he said last night. Couldn't find it in any of the clips, but he said it. I'll tell you what it was after he goes, oh, hopefully things will get better soon. You know, the guys are grinding, blah, 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 blah. Here's Boone.
It is a long year. And total confidence that we will. You know, we got to get some guys, even guys that are playing, you know, kind of healthy. You know, we're a little banged up within the lineup and obviously missing some key pieces, you know, that we need to get back. But that said, you know, we have all the pieces right now to be able to go out and win baseball games, and that's what we got to take care of, you know. And you know, the unfortunate part of the last, you know, several weeks for us has been we've been losing those close games, and that's what we got to find a way to punch through. And I think a big part of that is just getting a few guys, you know, going, you know, from a performance standpoint, from a health standpoint. If we can do that, Kasey is right there in front of us.
He says the same things over and over. He's like a broken record. I've heard him say that so many times. It's right in front of us. I'll tell you what's in front of him is three nightmarish games in Tampa and a six-game lead. I mean, when we saw it go under double digits, then we saw it go down to seven, then to 7.5, 8.5, 9.5, and now back down to six. How bad do they suck? I mean, they lose chunks of games in a matter of a week. They went to Oakland, disaster. They went to Anaheim, disaster. You know they're going to Tampa, and it's going to be a disaster, don't you? I was talking to Mitch. He's like, the Rays are having their problems. They've won 8 of 10 and 3 in a row. I don't care if they win 1-0 every night. They win.
Yeah. Here was the other good one last night. Now, of course, you couldn't find this on any of the footage anywhere because Boone got upset. The reporters were asking him about Kiner Falefa, Scotty. Of course, he made the huge error that set up the Ohtani three-run homer in that inning. He said that he's been one of the best defenders in the league at shortstop. That was what Boone said last night about Isaiah Kiner Falefa. That's just not true. Now, I don't care what kind of charts and graphs he wants to pull out or his little binder. When he has made errors this year, they've all been in very big spots. Boone can't say that last night. That's an awful job by him, saying he's been one of the best defenders in the league. The guy's going to hit .225 with no homers. He's got to play sparkling, no questions about it, defense for the stick that he has at the plate. He needs to play sparkling
defense. Honestly, Mike, you and I watch every Yankee game, and I text you every night. And they have no one on the team besides Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo. Nope. The rest of the team is Hair Dryer City. That's it. Who's talented? Tell me who it is. I'm done listening to Gleyber Day. He sucks too. Do they have? I like Ben Attendee a little bit. That's it.
They get Trevino. The two guys on. Of course, who gets on to start the ninth inning last night? Judge and Stanton. You know, they get on base with no outs to start the ninth.
Right.
Donaldson swinging at air. Torres swinging at air. They both just did an awful job with two on and nobody out.
They're just not that good.
They're just not. So they'll go to Tampa now where they'll lose 2 out of 3. The Orioles last night, Scotty, did win in Cleveland 4-0 for them. Here we go again on Coast to Coast. Kid making his major league debut. Big fly, Gunnar Henderson on Masson, Scotty. Here we go.
And the Orioles think the game will slow down eventually for Gunnar, who walked 79 times in 112 minor league games this year. .416 on base percentage between Bowie and Norfolk. On a 2-2, Henderson drills one right center field and deep and gone. Oh my goodness. His first major league hit is his first major league home run. The helmet is long gone, as is the ball. Let the hair flow, Gunnar Henderson. You're a big leaguer, and your first hit is sitting in right center field, deep in the seats in Cleveland.
Yeah, baby. A kid named Gunnar, as you know, and I had the O's at +150, boom. And my son's name is Gunnar, and that's a badass name, you got to admit.
Certainly is. The Cardinals struggled last night with the Reds, Scotty, but they did get it done. 5-3 in 13 innings. They win that one. Rays beat the Marlins 2-1 in 10 innings. As you and Mish were talking about, they put McClanahan on the 15-day IL, shoulder injury, left that bullpen before his start the other night. The Braves beat the Rockies 3-2 last night. Austin Riley, Scotty, on Bally Sports South, going big fly.
As Feltner turns it loose, a high fly ball toward right center. At the track and wall, that ball carries up. Austin got it good. I didn't think he got it that good, but the Braves strike first.
So I know you're going to talk about Acuna, and he says he's going to play through his knee pain. I don't believe in October he'll be playing. Again,
it's just always something. And he did hit a home run, by the way, last night. That was the third run for the Braves. Acuna Jr. did homer in that game. He says the knee feels terrible, but he's just going to keep playing through it. You're right. I could see a scenario where they either don't have him or have him extremely limited by the time they get to October. That's a guy that if they wrap up a playoff spot, I would maybe look to give some days off as they get into late September. Red Sox beat the Twins 6-5. Phillies beat the Diamondbacks 18-2 last night, Scotty. As they busted out after getting beat up by the Diamondbacks the two nights before that, D-backs did exercise the option on their manager, Torey Lovullo, for next year, 2023. Astros beat the Rangers. Brewers beat the Pirates. Padres did sweep the Giants 5-4. And the Cubbies beat the Jays 7-5. What'd you have that at? Plus 190 for the Cubbies last night? There you go.
I will give you
tonight's limited baseball schedule later this hour on Coast to Coast. We do have some games to pick for tonight.
I'm going to hit those games too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I had a guy that I play basketball with regularly, this big monster. He's 6'5", like 215. Kid can really ball. He's in his 20s. He can dunk. He's fast. He blocks shots. He does everything. And I haven't talked to the kid once off the court ever. I played against him a million times. Guy writes me a letter. He says, "Jesus Christ, you got Warren Sharp on your show?" I'm like, "I didn't even know you knew I had a show." He goes, "I don't care about your show." He goes, "I only care about Warren Sharp." And he goes, "By the way, I hate you playing basketball too, but tell my guy Warren I said hi." I was like, "All right." So my guy, the bake sale, loves Warren Sharp. And we're lucky enough to have as our lead analyst Warren every week on Coast to Coast. My man, good to see you. Let's start with, you got a lot of fans, even guys that I throw elbows with in basketball every week.
His name is
that
the
are
bake
fans
sale?
Of yours. I think it's great, right?
Yeah, that's a hilarious name, bake sale.
Yeah. His name's Chris Baker. I call him Bake Sale. He's got a game. I got to tell you, I played against him in a lot of championship games, and we won 3. They won 2. I hate his guts, but he loves you, and I thought I'd give him some love today. All right, so let's start with Russell Wilson's contract. I saw, as I follow you regularly now, you had a big piece on these contracts, the largest value contracts in history and the largest guarantees in history. What do you think of his deal that they gave him today?
I thought it was good to get him locked in and to help with the salary cap so that the team can manage it over the next several years. If you want the guy, it's good to get him locked in. And obviously, Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is worth every penny. I think a lot of people look back at the last couple of seasons in Seattle and don't see the level of success there. But people forget, with that mallet finger issue that he suffered, that injury he suffered prior to that last season, he was number one in EPA, number one in yards per attempt, tied for the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. So he was extremely productive prior to that. And he was in this run-first style of offense that really was trying to hold him back from his skill set. I know he's not perfect. Every quarterback has their problems and their things that hold them up a little bit. But I think Russell Wilson is going to make a massive difference for the Denver Broncos. If they're going to grab him like they did in a trade. It was important for them to extend him. The other takeaway that I had, Scott, from my research on it was simply, you know, we talk about Joe Flacco. Remember that 1 year Joe Flacco bet on himself and then took his team to the Super Bowl and got a new deal after that? Well, if there's a real definition of another guy betting on himself, it's Tom Brady. I mean, I know that he's fortunate to be married to a supermodel who brings in a ton of money, but here is a guy who's always signing short-term deals, taking less money so that the team can build up more players around him, and he's never anywhere close to, like, top 20 money, top 20 average salary. He's so far down the list, and he's constantly betting on himself with these very small deals, and it's really helped his team get better so that they can win so many Super Bowls.
So what's your expectation for Denver, Warren, based on, you know, all I've heard is the hype around how deep they are, how talented they are, how great their defense is, and then they get Russell Wilson. But I got to tell you, they had that great defense last year, and they just weren't a good football team. Now they have Wilson. Are they really that much better just having him than this great team they allegedly had already on the field, couldn't make the playoffs? What do they do now with him?
There's a big difference between Russell Wilson and Drew Lock over the last couple of years. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater was there for some of last season before he got hurt. Russell Wilson is just night and day different than these guys. He can open up the offense so much and throw the football down the field. It's just so different. And I think that they will be a much better team because of the quarterback and the quarterback alone. Now, there are a lot of questions as to how quickly he's going to gel with his new head coach who's going to be calling plays for the team and how quickly they're going to get up to speed. But I think this team is markedly better with Russell Wilson. And even if the defense takes a little bit of a step back, you know, most of what winning is in the NFL is your offense, and your defense just is along for the ride. And if they can play with more leads in that second half, it's going to make their life a lot easier. I do believe Russell Wilson being there will allow this defense to play with more leads, will allow them to look better. It's just a brutal division top to bottom in that AFC West, Scott. And so it's really hard for me to get too enthusiastic about the upside of the Denver Broncos when I think there's a good chance, and I bet the Chargers will win the Super Bowl. I think that there's a shot that the Kansas City Chiefs, the year that everybody is jumping off the bandwagon, I don't want to join those people. I want to still be a little bit bullish on the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to figure it out. So it's just really hard to find out where does the Denver Broncos slot into that hierarchy. I just think it's so jumbled that this is going to be a better team, but they may not make a quick run to the postseason because it will take a little bit of time to gel with Russ and that new play caller.
I'm with you there, Warren. I have to say that, in Seattle, Pete started, trying to fulfill his let's run first. We want to pound the ball. And then Russ started getting real frustrated that he bottom line wanted out. Nathaniel Hackett's not going to be that stupid, is he, to not let this guy be who he is and let him play the way he wants to play? They got to let this guy play the way Peyton Manning got to play in Denver when he got there the first year, not the end when he was throwing ducks. But when he first went there, they just let Peyton Manning be who he is. Is Hackett going to let Russell Wilson run that offense?
He is definitely going to let him run the offense, but here's the difference. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they're just going to throw the ball all the time. I actually don't think that's going to be the case. Go back and look at what the Green Bay Packers were doing, even with Aaron Rodgers. This team is not amongst the top five teams in pass rate, even though they have a stud quarterback. So they do have balance. They do look to pick their shots. This team, however, is going to be on early downs a little bit more pass heavy than what last year's Denver Broncos were or what Russ was doing in Seattle. And thus, I think that this new coach is going to, so to speak, unlock Russ, let him cook a little bit more than what we saw previously. But that year that you're mentioning in the 2020 season, when Brian Schottenheimer really pulled the reins off, they convinced Pete Carroll to let Russ cook all the time, and this team led the NFL in pass rate. I don't know that Nathaniel Hackett's going to come out the gates and do that with Russ, but I do think Russ is going to have a lot more control at the line of scrimmage, a lot more control on what plays they call, and hopefully they're going to execute this offense with a little bit more tempo and early aggression in games.
So you like the Jimmy G deal from what I understand.
I love the Jimmy G deal. Look, Scott, I was on the 49ers bandwagon at the beginning, but I was worried that they might get rid of Jimmy G, trade him somewhere else. And, you know, all the people that came out there, the like 95% of people were like, oh yeah, Jimmy G's gone. He's done. This is clearly they have to get rid of Jimmy if this is going to be Trey Lance's team. But I don't care about 2-3 years from now. Let's talk about it from a betting perspective for the 2022 NFL season. If I'm betting on the 49ers in the futures market, I want Jimmy G on this roster because that instantly becomes one of the best backups. He's taken to the Niners to the Super Bowl. He's taken the Niners to the NFC Championship in two different seasons out of the last three. This is a guy who knows how to operate this offense. I love the fact, Scott, that he was out of town and he wasn't at the camp. Let's install Trey's offense. Let's use all of the time that we've got to use reps for Trey Lance. Let's no distractions with Jimmy G. Now that we are going into the season with Trey, we could just have Jimmy around if we need him to help Trey in the film room, to help Trey from a professionalism standpoint. And then if Trey goes down due to injury, boom, all of a sudden we've got Jimmy G there. So if I'm betting on this team to go over their win total, which I ended up doing a little bit, if I'm betting on this team to potentially win the NFC West, which I dabbled, sprinkled a little bit on, I'm glad that Jimmy G has stuck around, and I'm glad that they were able to lower his cap hit tremendously with this renegotiated deal so that they can still have a little bit more money to build out the rest of their roster.
What do you think of Howie's deals for Gardner Johnson and to get rid of Rieger?
I think it was great. I mean, they basically flipped Rieger for Gardner Johnson. Gardner Johnson is a feisty player. He has that attitude that I think the fans of Philadelphia are really going to fall in love with. He's a good player, too. So you couple the attitude with being a really good player. I think it's definitely beneficial. You know, the aggression, I tweeted out the depth chart currently for the starters in Philadelphia at the different positions in their secondary. And only one of those players was actually drafted. Howie has done a really good job of picking guys up off waivers, of trading for guys, of acquiring different players that he felt this roster needed and turning a weakness into a strength. Because for a couple of years there, after they won that Super Bowl, it was always like, oh God, the secondary is terrible. And especially with the schemes that their defense coordinator was using, you always knew that this team was going to give up like these third and tens, third and eights, because of how they played defense and the talent in the secondary. Now their secondary is a lot better. And they're also, interestingly enough, playing in the NFC East. You look at those offenses and those wide receiving core, there's not really anything there to scare you, right? So this is not like, well, we've got to build up our secondary strong so that we can compete in the AFC West against all these top flight quarterbacks and deep receiving cores. This is like a really good secondary compared to the offenses and the receiving cores that they're going to be going up against in the NFC East this year. I think this is a secondary that's poised to still perform when they go up against the most difficult challenges on their schedule and probably into the postseason.
Hey, respectfully, I got 1 minute. Who are your sleepers and dark horses for your updated fantasy rankings, Warren?
Man, I don't know. I really have tried to stay out of fantasy this season to focus solely on the NFL. But I will tell you, a guy that I love, I don't know where he ranks in this whole thing, Scott, but Cortland Sutton. I think we might have talked to you guys about him a couple of weeks ago. I love that pairing. We talked about Russ. We talked about how explosive he is and the things he brings to this offense. Cortland Sutton, one of the very few player props I bet over his receiving yards total. I still think there's value on the market for him right now. I think Cortland Sutton is a great player to have on your fantasy team in 2022.
I can't wait for next week. Bills and Rams at SoFi to kick off the season. We'll talk to you then, Warren. Great stuff. Always a pleasure. Thanks for giving us all the skinny and insight on Coast to Coast today, brother. Enjoy all the college games tonight and throughout the weekend and into Monday Labor Day.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
There he is, Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, you got to love Rebecca. Some fan I just saw at Citi Field in the upper deck. You know, we've had fans in Oakland, fans in Toronto having relations during games. And you'd think that, you know, someone would have class. Obviously, Rebecca has class. She's got a fan in the upper deck with a gigantic flag, one of those giant ones you see at, like, the EPL games. gigantic, must be an 80-foot flag. It says at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV on it, in the middle of a Kershaw Basset Hound start in the broad daylight at Citi Field in Queens. Genius. Brilliant.
Tremendous job, as always, by Rebecca. Very popular place currently. If you're looking to get the word out, is over there at the Rogers Center. That is for sure. Here we go, Scotty. Four games tonight. That's it. Just four night games in Major League Baseball. We will start in Cleveland. The Guards and the Orioles tonight. Shane, don't call me Justin Bieber for Cleveland. Bradish goes for the O's. Guardians minus 185 plus $1.50 for the Orioles. 7.5 is the total.
Mike, I just can't go against Justin Bieber here at home. He's just been unbelievable. There's no denying it. Although he has struggled a little bit in Cleveland, 3-4, but 51 strikeouts at home. He's lost his last couple of starts, but are you really going to bet against him against Bradish, who gives up 6 runs a game? I'm taking Cleveland here, and it was my number one play in baseball on the sizzling hot Pharrell on the bench.com.
Rangers and the Red Sox will start a 4-game series at Fenway tonight. Rich Hill gets the ball for Boston. Our boy C. Otto is going for the Rangers. Red Sox minus 175 plus $1.45 for Texas. 9 the total at Fenway.
Yeah, I'm not taking the Sea Otter over Rich Hill, who has been magnificent of late. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm all over Hill. And I'm going to take the over at Fenway based on the Otters' ERA. And let's face it, Hill's ERA also at 4.3. But lately, he hasn't been giving up any runs at all. I think it's going to be more on the side of Texas getting lit up.
Rockies and the Braves finish off their series in Atlanta tonight. Both teams have won a game so far. Chad, You're So Cool goes for the Rockies. You've got Spencer Strider for the Braves. The heavy lumber of the night, minus 375, plus 300 for the Rockies. 8 is the total.
Well, I'm not going near that that line in the 300s. No way. But we have it better in terms of the lion's share and our prop bets. Those are better ways to bet this game than to flush that kind of money down the drain. It's almost like, you know, they've already beaten them. And you never thought you'd see it when Fried lost to them and you lost all kinds of money there. You're going to go do it again? I wouldn't do it if I were you. I would prop him on strikeouts and do the total here if you're going to do anything. But I would, you know, if forced, take the Braves and the over, because So Cool is not so cool when he gives up 5 to 6, 7 runs a game.
And finally, late night game out in Arizona, the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Brandon Woodruff against Merrill Lynch Kelly. Brewers minus 135, D-backs plus 115, 7.5 the total in this one.
I'm on the under in Kelly. I'm taking Arizona. I think it's going to be a great game with Woodruff. 2-1-3-2. I'm not looking for anything more. I think this is going to be a pitcher's game in the desert.
Hey, we told you on the lion's share earlier. Little combo meal. Diamondbacks in the under tonight. Big ball of the night in the plus 250 area. Go and get it, baby. It is on. So there is your night in Major League Baseball. All right, lots of football to do for the rest of the show, Scotty. Let's do some NFL first. The New York Post, page 6. Always good when we start the NFL segment with page 6, Scotty. Says Tom and Giselle are in a, quote, epic fight over Tom's decision to unretire. He was supposed to stay home and help with the kids. He did 6 weeks of it, and he said, you got to be kidding me. I'm going back to football, and Giselle's not happy about it, Scotty.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if any bit of this is even remotely true or accurate, something bad's going to happen to his season. He's just not going to do what everybody thinks he's going to do. Everybody thinks he's going back to the Super Bowl and that they're going to dominate and win every single game. I'm telling you, when you drive in that driveway and you got problems when you open up that front door, I mean, it follows you all the way to work like a fart in your pants. I mean, to tell you, it's like a trailer. I'm telling you, if he's got problems with her, that's why now you have to assume without any provocation that's why he took a vacation. He left the training camp because his wife's about to leave him. If that's true, he's doomed. But then again, let's look on the bright side. If she leaves him, she's got more money than him already. If she leaves him, she's going to be fine. She's going to get the house, the kids, half of everything, no matter what. She's already got more than him. And then he'll be like all your buddies that are divorced living in an apartment. He'll have a nice apartment, penthouse, overlooking Boston. But he'll, or Tampa, over the water. Look at me. I still got him in Boston. But here's the deal. If he gets divorced, he will move back to Boston, probably. And all I'm telling you is, in Tampa, if he's divorced, then he will win the Super Bowl. Because when you got no one yelling at you, I mean, it's party time, baby. You keep a 12-pack of Bud Light in the fridge, have someone pick you up in the town car, take you over to the Raymond James, win every game. I mean it. If he ends up getting split up and separated from her, I'll take the Buccaneers to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
Well, when he first moved to Tampa, Scotty, I remember the stories that he was staying in Jeter's house. You know, Jeter has that enormous mansion in Tampa.
Right.
Well, if he ends up splitting up, I'm sure Jeter's got a couple of his old bachelor pads that he still owns all over the place. He can get some of the old Jeter real estate again if he wants to, Tom. He don't need it, though. He's got plenty of money.
I told you those, you know, when he we had this conversation, Mike, when he retired and then came back, I said 1,000 times, that chick is going to leave him over this. Because he said 1,000,000 times he wanted to spend more time with his family. I told you, how many millions of times have I said on this show and at CBS that there's no such thing as family when you're a professional athlete? You can lie all you want about how much you miss your wife, but all these coaches work 24 hours a day. These players work 20 hours a day at least. And there's no time for little kids and wives. When you play in the NFL, you have no life, no family life, none.
When most of these guys, it's like a year later or 2 years later, they get the itch and they come back. It was 6 weeks for him. It was 6 weeks. And he was like, forget this. I want no
He's
part
45.
Of this. I'm going back
He's
to 45. Football.
You know what he is to me? He's Blanda. Like, this guy's playing for it. He's way better. I won't deny that. But he's 45 years old, and he acts like he's going to play till he's 50. I still believe that he'll play this year, and that'll be it. Because he's going to be – you thought he was slow before? I mean, he is literally quicksand slow now.
Let's get on the field now, of course. We are 1 week away from the start of the NFL season. The Bills and the Rams next Thursday night in SoFi to kick things off. We will start our day in the NFL in Carolina, where yesterday we did the story about Baker Mayfield telling the reporter that he was going to Pharrell up the Browns in week number one when he gets a piece of them. Yesterday, Scotty, Baker says that's not at all how the conversation went. I never said such a thing. Here's Baker Mayfield.
Well, first, I didn't say it. Obviously, I mean, everybody's going to write whatever story they want. There's history that I played there the last 4 years. I'm an extremely competitive person. Everybody knows that. If I wasn't wanting to win, then there would be a really big issue of me being the quarterback here. So I want to win in everything I do. That'll never change. Now, that is not how I phrased it. That's not even what I said. So I'll just leave it at that.
How did you phrase it, if you don't mind?
I didn't even say anything.
Just said, did you talk to her at all? Or?
No, I talked to her. I mean, I think she addressed it. She said it. Obviously, you guys can go back and look at what she said. But all I did was agree. You know, I hope we win. It's pretty plain and simple. Competitive. I want to win. And I don't think that should be harped on.
I guess that relationship with his little friend at the NFL Network, the reporter girl, that's over. They won't be talking anymore moving forward. He's going to give her a piece, too, the next time he sees her. So I hope she got her little rocks off with her story that she broke that wasn't true. But either way, he's walking it back. We already know he wants to F them up. Let's stop with all this nonsense. He wants to be civilized. This guy has always been an in-your-face showboat, show-off, since we've ever known him. Since he came into our lives in college football, he's been a show-off.
He certainly has. And, of course, he wants to beat the Browns in week number one. The Cowboys, of course, Scotty, going to have some problems on the offensive line. They've lost left tackle Tyron Smith. He's going to be out for pretty much the entire season. What does that mean? It's rookie time at left tackle. Tyler Smith, the Cowboys' first draft pick, Jerry Jones says he's going to start at left tackle. Here's Mike McCarthy, I guess, sort of confirming it. Here we go.
You determined how you will proceed filling that position in the wake of Tyron's.
You want another one to come, Mike?
Contrary to how we normally operate, I'd like to defer on our starting lineup. So, but
keep it a secret, Mike. Nobody can know. Don't tell anybody.
Quick follow-up. This is a competitive situation as far as going into the regular season, what you will do there.
We have no one else to start.
Well, I mean, is there still some things to work
through? He wants no part of this conversation.
Well, I just think the biggest thing is, you know, frankly, I talked to the whole team about it. I mean, this is really your first time to shift gears, first time to do carded periods, you know, just because the way we went through the preseason, you know, this we haven't operated on an in-season format at all. So the point I'm making is the reps are so, you know, so critical.
They have no one else. He's the starter.
No.
There you go. I saved everybody a lot of time.
And Mike, and look, Mike's up there. He knows. I mean, he's on the fire this year. Like, he's every word he says, every game he coaches, it can happen at any time for him. And he knows
he's walking on coals.
He's walking on coals all year down there in Dallas. And now he don't got his starting left tackle either. He's going to play some rook over there. We'll see how it goes.
We got him in the luau, walking on hot coals all year, Carver. I put him in the luau.
Here is Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, Scotty. He also will be relying on some rookies at the wide receiver position. They're going to spread the ball all over the place. Don't worry about it. Here's Matt.
I think versatility is always imperative, you know, and we're fortunate. I think we have a good – I like the group.
You have Aaron Rodgers. Thank you for coming.
I don't think anybody's clear-cut in front of the other guy. I think it's going to be, you know, very much the ball's going to get spread around.
Aaron's made you famous.
We're going to try to feature different guys in different spots. And it'll be, I guess, fun in that sense. And hopefully that it keeps the defense a little bit more off balance in terms of where the ball's going to go.
Even though it says I am.
Would he even matter if Aaron Rodgers wasn't there? Would anyone ever even know his name?
No. No. There you go. Packers, of course, will open in Minnesota against the Vikings, Scotty, on the first Sunday of the season. All right. Top of the hour. We got a couple of more to do, including Robert Saleh. He must have had some Wheaties the other morning saying that he still thinks he's going to win a lot of Super Bowls with the Jets. Mac Jones as well, Scotty.
Their season ended in the preseason.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You have no idea. The fans clamor for Today in Carver High History.
They certainly do. 1973, George Foreman had a good day, Scott. He's having a bad month in 2022, but he had a good one in 1973. Retains his WBC and WBA heavyweight crowns when he knocked out
Jose hit on those kids?
King Roman in round one in his first title defense. 1975, Tom Seaver shuts out the Buccos to become the first player to have 200 strikeouts for a then MLB record eighth straight season. 1977, Tracy Austin becomes the youngest female to play in the U.S. Open. 14 years old!
I remember.
And she won her first round match. 1984, Jerry Rice breaks his own Division I AA record for total yardage and receptions. How 17 for 294 and 5 touchdowns sound for a day. 1987, Michael Chang becomes the youngest man to win a match at the U.S. Open. He was 15 when he beat Paul McNamee. Michael Chang, one of the all-time greats. 1989, Chrissy Evert becomes the first player to win 100 matches in the U.S. Open National Tennis Center. 1994, Yvonne Lendl plays in his final professional tennis match, forced to retire with back pain. No good. 1999, Mario Lemieux approved as the new owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins. First club in in pro sports history to be owned by a former player for the team. 2006, Roger Goodell becomes NFL commissioner. 2004, sexual assault charges against Kobe are dropped in Eagle County in Colorado. 2007, I got to get to it. App State pulls one of the biggest upsets in college football history. They blocked a field goal with 6 seconds left to beat Michigan in Ann Arbor.
It'll be Jason Gingell. Out of the hole to Mesko. Good snap. Good hold. And the kick is blocked. Appalachian State has stunned the college football world. One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
How great was that? That was as good as it
gets. That
gets
you going for college football right there. College football tonight, day of the App State upset. Let's go.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.